Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 5 of season 6. This one is called Schisms. Directed by Robert Wymer. Teleplay goes to Brandon Braga. Story goes to Jean-Louis Mateus and Ron Wilkerson. It aired back on October 19th, 1992. In this episode, several of the Enterprise crew members are having difficulty sleeping or having lost track of time, find themselves having strange emotional responses to normal objects. The affected crew realize that they had a common experience. They've all been abducted by aliens. Sean is here to talk about this one. It's Schisms. It's kind of a weird episode. So what do me and Sean think about it right after this?
How's the scan going, Data?
I have just started the scan. Did you not go to sickbay?
Data, I've been there for over an hour and a half.
That is not possible. My internal chronometer indicates you have been gone for exactly 1 minute 15 seconds.
I'm telling you, Data, I've been gone for over an hour.
Computer, what is the time, please?
The time is 14:27 hours.
You are correct. 90 minutes 17 seconds have passed since you left the room.
What have you been doing all this time?
I have no memory of events during that period. When we have finished here, I will perform a self-diagnostic.
You know, first we picked up a false EPS explosion, then my visor cuts out twice, and now you lose an hour all in this cargo bay.
So, Sean, Schisms is kind of a fun episode.
Yeah.
Do you agree or you disagree?
Yeah, nothing but laughs, man.
Yeah, it's a lighthearted adventure about alien abductions taking place in the 24th century. Although this episode is weird to me. It doesn't feel like TNG, really, in a lot of ways. I think it's very unique in how it goes about things, how the plot resolves itself, and eventually just sort of where it ends up. Did you have any sort of initial thoughts that you want to get off your chest with this one?
Well, you have fresh perspective on all these. For me, this one is one I usually skip when I'm, you know, playing this show in the background. I don't know why. I don't know. It's just whatever people get out of it on the first viewing, I feel like it doesn't hold up if you have to watch it again.
I agree with that. I watched it twice for this, and it's funny you say that. I feel like the response to this one is either people really like it or people don't like it all that much.
Yeah.
I really like this one, and although watching it in quick succession makes you realize that it's got a lot of problems on the second watch through, that I think the tone is so good for it, like, and the way the episode feels carries a lot of the initial response to it, I think.
Right.
And that kind of goes away once you're aware of A, what's happening, and B, you know that that's the kind of like feel that they're going for, and you start to pay attention to what's going on in the episode, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it that. There are moments where I feel like it was genuinely creepy, especially, you know, 25 years later. For it to still kind of have something about it is pretty impressive.
The holodeck scene, I think is a really great scene. I think it holds up really well. Especially it gives you an appreciation for how creepy sounds can be when they start playing the clicks in the background.
Totally.
It's really, really, really well done. So I had been bitching about the past couple season wrap-ups that Riker has been pushed off to the side. And this is a strong Riker episode, in my opinion. This is season 6 features Riker quite a bit. What did you think about Riker as the main cast for this one? And B, how do you think the cast was used in this episode? I guess we'll start there.
Whew. I don't know. Can you answer first?
Sure. I'll give you. So I like Riker. I think Riker was perfect as the one that this is happening to. Mm-hmm. I start to, on rewatch, the episode starts to fall apart a little bit for me when the people who have been abducted are largely the main characters.
Right.
And they have that one woman who gives like terrible line readings about like, yes, it was cold when she's in the holodeck with them. She seems to be the only non-bridge officer that's being abducted. And I think it would have been a lot better if Riker was the only main character that was being abducted and he was working with characters we had never met before.
Right. Well, did they ever explain why he got picked to be abducted so many times?
No, it also doesn't make sense because when we open the episode, Riker is suffering from this problem of sleeplessness.
Right.
And then the episode goes on to say that Geordi doing whatever he did to the engines caused the aliens to find him, which doesn't make any sense. That's not what they were saying.
Yeah, I think they fucked up the editing there.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I enjoy him. They don't ever say why Riker has been picked more than once.
I think it's because they're confused by beards.
Yeah. They're confused by the beards. They're confused by his what arm bone is connected to the knee bone or whatever it is. They also abduct Data, which is a weird choice, I think.
Yeah, I was surprised because whenever there's something like this happening to the ship, you always have to think of how Data would respond because he's not organic, so he would react differently. So it's hard to cast a spell on the ship, and then you have to like think about how do we handle Data, though, you know?
Right.
I think they threw that in there just to try to cover their bases.
Right, that he's not immune to whatever's going on.
Right.
Yeah. Because I like the scene too. It's funny because I feel like the episode is a whole bunch of cool scenes that when you start to put them together, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Like I like the scene where Geordi comes back and he's like, Data, what have you been doing for an hour and a half? And Data can't believe the hours we're missing. I like that, but it doesn't fit in with the MO of how the aliens have been abducting people.
Right. I feel like once they abducted Data, because he's way more interesting than Riker, I feel like they would have just kept him.
Yes. Yeah. He's the, they compare it to like a fish tank or something at the end. And Data would be the goldfish with the shiniest tail or something.
What did you think of Data's poetry at the beginning?
I really like the character beat. I don't know if this was the right episode for it.
I feel like they were all really harsh in the poetry. I thought the poem was actually really clever. Even reading some of the reviews of this, people slam the poetry in a bad way.
Well, the poetry is kind of, I think people who would be like really into prog rock would like his poetry because his poetry is all about ridiculous things being said, but over this, like over a very like perfect meter of how he's saying it.
Yeah.
So I think if you like listen to, you know, like Dream Theater or things like that, like in your casual listening time, you'd probably appreciate his poetry. Not saying that you do, but there is there's an aspect to his poetry that I like.
Right. You know, it makes me think that if they redid this episode today, instead of poetry, he would be trying out like rap or something.
Yeah. 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 And his flow would be ill, but it would just not be, it would not have any street smarts that would go along with it. Everyone would knock him on his cracker ass.
Oh, man. Yeah, Data's definitely the whitest character on the ship. And it's a ship full of white people.
That's right. When he's making friends with Geordi. He's like, he's got to be friends with the black guy on the ship. Yeah, I really liked the poetry. I mean, I liked the poetry as a character beat. I just thought it was weird that, A, the cold open is kind of unique in that it doesn't really establish what's going on. It just uses Data's poetry to show that Riker is very tired.
Right.
And
well, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm pretty much done.
Well, the cold open to me, before they roll credits, I thought that the only hook was, oh, Riker can't sleep. That didn't really seem like much of a thing. I don't remember, was the Data stuff there at the very, very beginning?
Yeah, that he's reading his poetry in the very beginning. Okay. It's a very long cold open. It goes on for a couple scenes.
Right.
And after that, it fades into the just sort of Riker is having these things done. It's a well-directed episode. There's a lot of camera shots that they do really well, and it's very darkly lit.
The fisheye and stuff. I mean, they have like limited resources to do the technology of these aliens have got to be more advanced than them in a way because they're, you know,
capturing basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But their stuff doesn't look that much more advanced, but you know, whatever, it's limited budget. So I feel like playing with the fisheye lenses and the lighting and the sound, like you said, really sold it a little bit better, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's all attitude for this one, because I guess the problem for me starts when I really like the Riker storyline, and I kind of confused this episode with Frame of Mind, which is the one where he's in the play and he's going crazy.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. He the same like disheveled haircut. He's all exhausted. It's a very similar vibe for Riker.
Right, and he's not 100% sure what's going on around him, and it's also in this season. Both of those episodes are in this season. I think Frame of Mind is the better episode, but I confuse it with this one, and I kind of wish that they had played up his confusion a little bit more. And maybe we only realize for a longer time that something's wrong with Riker, because they very quickly move into scenes where Geordi starts yawning, and Riker's like, "Oh, I know how you feel. I haven't been sleeping in days," even though they just had a scene where Riker was shocked that Geordi came back in the morning.
Right.
My one flaw, that scene where Geordi comes back and Riker can't believe it's the next morning is not well directed at all.
No. Well, it feels very startling, which is what I would imagine how Riker feels.
Well, I don't understand. Sure. I don't understand why they took the camera off of Riker at all. If you want to make it seem like no time has passed and be in his you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead, they cut to Geordi outside, and it's like, oh, it's the next morning because he's coming back. And then Riker can't believe it. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right. Yeah, that would have been better. You're right.
So let's say...
what do you think about Troy guiding them through their memories? Do you think she does a good job? That's her character?
Yeah, I think that she's the only character to do that. I think she does an effective job. She doesn't really play on her counselor abilities at all. But she just kind of helpfully guides them. I honestly find those scenes more distracting because I really wish that Worf and Geordi weren't a part of it.
Right. Yeah, that scene, like you said, that one scene where they do the investigating, you know, again, we love when they use the holodeck for investigation.
Yeah, as does Brandon Braga, because both of his scripts have used the holodeck
for
investigation. It's a good use of it.
Yeah, no, he's onto something. But I feel like that episode is so strong. I'm sorry, that scene is so strong that's kind of the best part of the entire episode. I don't think the climax is any better than that. In fact, I think it's a little bit worse.
Yes, I'd agree with that. I think that the holodeck scene is really creepily shot. The sound is really helpful.
Right.
The only thing that distracts me a little bit is that the computer gives them a wide range of stuff depending on what they ask for. You know, it never keeps like... The table, when it alters from a table that's flat to a table that's at a 15-degree angle, it changes it completely in design as to what it was.
Right. I mean, even now, if you're trying to buy furniture and you hit Amazon, you think the table you want is going to be easy to find, and it's not. Right. Imagine like a computer that's got thousands of times more tables. Like, they zone in on it pretty fast.
I was kind of surprised that there's only 5,000 tables on record. I was like, I thought that number felt low. I can imagine millions of different tables.
Is that what they said? There's only 5,000?
Yeah, the computer says there's 5,000 tables on record. Please choose one.
Yeah, they need to update that.
It gives us another moment for the people in the future have a very short fuse with the computer for some reason, even though they realize they aren't giving it the information that it clearly needs.
Right. Well, the question for me is, why not update the computer with all human knowledge all the time?
Right.
Or is it limited? So when they have to feed the computer a new recipe, for example, it's like, why doesn't it just have the recipe for donuts or whatever?
Right. It should be common knowledge at this
point. Yeah.
Like I guess it's all because it's pre-internet, right? So they had no understanding that people would be able to actually connect information together constantly.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's fun to look back and judge harshly, but
it always sticks out. Same with why does Data just not know the dictionary? You know,
right.
Like he should have read the dictionary.
They had the benefit of a short circuit. Where that scene where he read all the encyclopedias looking for input. So they should have known.
They should have just had Data watching that movie of that guy reading the dictionary. Why can't I think of his name?
Johnny Five.
There we go. Yeah.
There's an episode. So the TNG edit on YouTube, you know, they kind of retool these episodes, make them funny. There's one that's called like Another Day in the Enterprise. And there's a still shot of the whole crew in the ready room watching the TV. And they're all just watching Short Circuit. I'll send you a link, or we'll put it on the for this.
We'll put it on YouTube. We can watch. Those are funny I like the flute one where it's he's playing the flute poorly.
Yeah, that one. The other one with Riker massaging Riker.
Yep. So after the holodeck resolves itself, we're kind of on to what the episode is about, right? We know there's an alien abduction going on.
Right.
They figured out that there's some kind of portal in that shuttle bay or whatever it is.
Right.
And they start to realize that they can send people into this other world to meet the aliens.
Right.
And is this where the episode started to fall apart for you?
Yeah. Well, if I had to redo it, I would try to keep the best scene, the one that I mentioned, should be closer to the end, and they can have a resolution close to that, or keep the stakes high, or keep the tension there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about separating it. Like, it makes sense logically. Like, they send him back in with a trick ready to go,
yep,
and they sort of take the aliens down that way. But I don't know. It'd be nice to kind of keep that creepy investigation scene, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. Because my favorite of the non-great Star Trek episodes, my favorite are these mystery kind.
Yeah.
And I really wish that they had maintained... It felt very similar to Remember Me, which is the Crusher one where people are disappearing on the ship and she's the only one that notices.
Wait, is that one when no one is sleeping as well?
No, people are sleeping in that one. It's just like she goes around and she's like, oh, like, where's Riker? And then everyone goes, who's Will Riker? Like, no one seems to remember that these people exist.
Yeah.
That one had a similar thing where they revealed the answer to the mystery way too early.
Right.
And so you spend the last two acts of the show going like, yeah, come on, Beverly. Like, we got to get back to the real thing. Like, we know what's going on.
Yeah, it's not a mystery. It's a math problem at that point.
Yeah, and you know they're going to fix it. And it's really just pure technobabble to fix it.
Right.
So it's not very satisfying.
Totally. But you know what? One thing you just kind of pointed out was I feel like this episode, it feels like Remember Me. It feels like the other one where Riker is on stage.
Yeah.
And then it reminds me of the one where the whole ship isn't sleeping. And at the end, Data excuses the captain or whatever. Like, this feels like if you want what this episode has, there's three other episodes which might do it better.
Yes, that if you want one angle of this episode. It's funny you mention that because we just watched Man of the People, which is a terrible episode. But it feels like they took five other episodes that have already come before and threw them together. And I'm starting to get a little bit, I know season six picks up, but season six is the first time in watching all these episodes that I'm really starting to feel like they're repeating themselves a lot.
You know, it's funny. Oh, I love 4 through 7, but I'd say 7 is kind of a clunker.
Yep.
I remember watching the extra features for the DVDs, and they interviewed a lot of the cast, and a lot of them loved season six the most. And they said it was the family season because there just is a lot of episodes where there's different family members, brothers, whatever, coming into play. And it always stuck with me. And I don't know what episodes you've seen yet, but I'm surprised that it's kind of falling flat for you.
Early season six is not good. The second half of season six is probably the strongest stretch the show ever had.
Oh, okay.
Starting with like Chain of Command, moving through a whole bunch of other stuff. But we're a little bit away from there. But it's funny you say that because I feel like season four is the family season. Season six to me, for context, is the showrunners have largely moved to Deep Space Nine at this point. Mm. So I think the writing room was a little bit loosened up because we're starting to do things like we're starting to bring in TOS cast members. Scotty just appeared. They're starting to get a little bit looser with how the tone of the episodes are, judging by this one, you know?
Right.
They're starting to open up a little bit, and I think they really hit their stride in the second half. But I think it's funny that the show is, A, starting to repeat storylines, but it's also starting to do a little bit of exploration about how they can do these episodes differently. Which I appreciate at this point.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I wonder for the new series that's coming out, if they're going to make it more linear, like a giant movie in 8 different parts, or if it's going to be self-contained episodes like this, you know?
I think they'll do a combination. My guess is a combination.
They're
going to have a overarching story that's going to be broken up with individual episodes, I think.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, you have the A plot, like X-Files, and then you'll have a lot of little B episodes, which are awesome.
Monster of the Week,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think because that's the only way to, A, make it palatable to modern TV viewers, and B, make Star Trek fans happy.
Right. Well, what do you think the best way to tackle sci-fi is? Do you think a Monster of the Week episodes work well, or do you like
Yes.
when they're longer?
No, I think they definitely, if it's not confirmed yet, they definitely have to anthologize the seasons.
Right.
Like each season needs to be its own discrete unit.
Right. No,
But I prefer.
what I mean is like, no. So if you're gonna go for a pure sci-fi idea, if you're gonna pull off an idea like ship is exploding over and over and they don't know what's going on, do you think that the better platform to do that is to have episodes that are self-contained, like one and done? Or do you think it's better when they have it like six episodes connected? Like, how do you like to see your sci-fi tackled? Long form
Sci-fi
or short form?
short form. It needs to be
Okay.
short because the longer you stick with a sci-fi idea, the harder it is to make sure that it all continues to make sense with itself.
Yeah.
So that's why I think movies are the ideal sci-fi vehicle.
Right.
If you just have that killer sci-fi idea like Sunshine, the Danny Boyle thing,
Right.
it's like just such a great idea. And even then it kind of falls apart at the end, but like it's strong enough
Yeah.
to carry it through, or like Terminator or Total Recall, things like that. It's like really just a
Right.
strong idea that can carry itself for like an hour is
Right.
fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. The longer it is, the more likely you collect mistakes.
Yes, as Star Trek is starting to, starting to show, it's like, well, once you just have to worry about a continuing universe, your
Yeah.
sci-fi kind of falls off to the wayside,
Right.
which is too bad.
Well, like high concept stuff, I think is better with one shot shoot from the hip episodes or movies, like you said. But I feel like sci-fi can't get into like religion well unless you have it more long form, like
Right,
what
yeah.
Deep Space Nine tends to do. So I think they're both good for different things, but I tend to go towards the monster of the week type sci-fi for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talk about the like carrying on Deep Space Nine type stuff would be maybe I'm just comparing it to sci-fi series that I've seen that do it weren't in an age where they were really allowed to go anywhere with it.
Right.
Like they're
Right.
very tame because they're like late 80s, early 90s shows when
Right.
everything was on network television. You couldn't offend anybody.
Right.
So I'd be interested if they did like a modern thing. They could definitely stretch it out. Battlestar is like the only one that I can really think of that's kind of a modern take on that stuff.
Yeah. It's funny. I know of Star Trek Voyager episodes, which I feel were great, and they could have made it a whole season. But then I think of the one where in Next Gen, where the ship keeps exploding and they can't figure it out. I feel like that shouldn't be more than one episode. It's perfect that way, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let's I guess we'll wrap this up with well, not wrap it up, but I did want to get into the aliens of this episode. The conclusion of this episode feels very, very, very not Next Generation to me.
Yeah, how so?
There's no resolution to how it ends.
Right, I agree.
They admit that they're sending out this probe thing, right?
Right.
And then it just kind of ends at that
Yeah,
point.
you know, when the final shot of the ship cruising off, it was a little bit longer than normal, and I thought, oh, is there another scene coming? And they just suddenly it's executive producer.
That always happens for some reason. I don't know why that happens, but they hold it for a little bit longer and you're like, oh, something's gonna come up, and it never actually comes up.
Suddenly it explodes and the aliens won.
Well, there's another reason why this one's dark, right? Because it's dark in general, but it's rare that the show does a species where there's no seeming redeeming quality to them. Like
Yeah.
these aliens are just purely incomprehensible bad guys, even more than the Borg on some level.
Well, were they being evil or were they just experimenting and they didn't respect life? They didn't see us as the humans as worthy of respecting, you know what
Yeah,
I
I guess that's true too, right? You could look at it that way. If they're alien enough
mean?
where, because I guess the episode says that they look like that because they're in like a version of our universe. I think
Oh, so they project themselves into a way that only we oh, okay.
I think so. I think that's what the episode is saying. I think that they wouldn't be comprehensible to us or something if we were in their space.
Yeah.
So I guess it would make sense that they. It's the thing, anything sufficiently advanced seems like a god kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, but then again, that can opener that they all identified, the thing on the end of the stick that has been probing them. That is not that complicated for us to understand.
No, that's it felt very remember Fire in the Sky, that
Oh
movie.
yeah, totally. Yeah, that you know what? I bet there's definitely inspiration in this episode
Into
for
this
that.
one. Yeah, probably. I remember being terrified by Fire in the Sky.
Yeah,
That scene.
that for a while. I mean, the whole movie leading up to that scene, that one scene was scaring the shit out of people back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I'll bet that came out before this. Yeah, I bet that that's where that the impetus might have
Probably.
been.
Let me check. So, while I
I'm curious,
check.
the idea of like the Enterprise not being the most advanced species. I mean, even when they meet the Borg are advanced, but just slightly advanced. They never met anybody. Well, no, that's not true, because when Barclay got supercharged and then he brought them to the species of the floating head in space, whatever, like that was sufficiently advanced. Mostly they don't meet anybody that much more powerful. And these guys, I feel like they could have pushed it more and really had them scared about what the hell they're dealing with and maybe not even see the aliens.
Yeah, that's true. It also I mean, the ending kind of ties into that because the ending implies that you're going to see them again,
Right.
and you just never do. Like these
No.
guys are never coming back. So,
So they were in cloaks, right? They had like hoods or
yeah, they
something.
were wearing like monk robes, like Jedi
Yeah,
robes, basically.
even that, yeah. Even that.
It's a little excessive. This actually came out before Fire in the Sky,
Oh
a year before,
man.
which is shocking.
Wow.
Because what was the? There was another. Oh, I think Cause and Effect came out before Groundhog Day,
Huh.
which is interesting.
Yeah.
Brandon Braga
Yeah.
was just on the cut. He was either reading, what is that, Hollywood Variety magazine? He was either
Yeah.
reading that, like,
A Hollywood Reporter,
The
yeah.
Reporter, just writing a script in 2 days before it would come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I'm just it's a weird TNG episode for me, just because of how they end, and I like the way it ends. Like I'm starting to get a little bit tired of the show wrapping everything up sort of with a neat little bow,
Yeah.
and I like the open-endedness of like, well, we don't know what the fuck that was. That was kind of crazy. And what did they send into our universe? That was crazy.
Yeah. But you know, more if they left it on more of a question mark of like, well, we think we've stopped them, but we can never know for sure. And then you saw Riker sure turning off his light and going to sleep and then not being able to sleep again and then
Right.
end it there. That would be, I think, a little bit better.
Does anyone die in this episode? Do they save the guy whose blood was turning into whatever?
I don't remember. Because when Riker's explaining to them that the aliens are not nice people and he starts citing these examples, I mean, the truth is, Riker, they did put your arm back on, so.
Right, they're not all that bad, yeah.
Yeah. We should probably put this guy back.
I love his reaction when Crusher that Yeah, that it goes into the pacing of the episode. It felt weird to me, that reveal. I feel like that reveal should have been earlier,
Right.
because they reveal that after they're aware that they are aliens abducting them and that people are missing,
Right. Oh, yeah.
and then Dr. Crusher is just like, and that's not it. You also had your arm cut off, and it feels like excessive to the point of being unnecessary, or just do it earlier or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like if they're that advanced, they could have hid the stitching a bit better, you
Right.
know?
Yeah. She makes some mention about how it's off by a tiny amount, but still very, very, very impressive
It's
that they're
like,
able to do it in the first place.
this tattoo of Troy is just so shifted on his shoulder. It's like, oh, didn't quite line up. Try again.
What'd you think of Troy's season six hair? It's been a divisive issue.
Ooh. I don't know. It's which uniform is she wearing now? I
She
forget.
was wearing the maroon jumpsuit in this episode.
Is it a bit big still, or do they tone it down a bit?
No, that's toned down. I mean, it's just like it's a sort of skin tight maroon, like with the plunging neckline, I guess would be
Yeah.
the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Well, where are people lined up on her hair this
Well,
season?
her hair just looks like she's woken up from like a drug fueled bender for some reason. Like it looks so unkempt, and it's very like just in her face all the time. It's weird that they've done that.
Yeah.
Every season starts with basically people having new haircuts and a fresh tan when they come
Right.
back to the show.
Yeah.
And that is in effect and full effect here. She's getting her hair done a little bit differently.
Yeah. It's funny, when they first created a Worf, they gave him the bob and the Prince Valiant kind of haircut.
Yep.
And it looked terrible. And they're like, well, we can't just have him show up with a full-on ponytail, like, or Motorhead next season. So every year it gets a bit longer. And it's after 7 years, almost long enough to start looking good.
Once he starts tying it back is the best. That's the best Worf look.
Yeah.
When he gets into, it's probably season 7 when he's going
to. Yeah. That. Or when it's like him from the future and he's all gray and it's all just, he's like a gray ghostly king. That looks good. But the Prince Valiant, no.
No, he looks, I was watching, you mentioned the early episodes. I feel Schisms is a very well done episode that could have happened in the first or second season. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. The capability of the staff could have pulled this off earlier on.
And it feels that it feels like it's a kind of episode that isn't totally, like, there's no reason why this is Riker doing this. You know what I mean?
Right.
They could stick anybody into it. And that feels of a very early season type thing.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
It ties into the fact that I'm going to go into this more in depth when we start doing the TOS movies and stuff. But I hope I'm pronouncing his name. I think it's Tarek or Tariq on Twitter had just mentioned that talked about the difference between the TOS movies and the TNG or the cast people. Because I was talking about when Scotty appeared that Scotty brings a kind of warmth as the character to this TNG show, which I've never really noticed being so drastic before.
Right.
The original series cast is basically a family, where the TNG cast is not really a family. They're co-workers more than family.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's why I think that these kind of episodes work really well for TNG, because it doesn't rely on this kind of artificial familial thing to get the drama across.
Right.
And it's interesting that I think that's the difference why the TOS movies are superior to the TNG movies. Because for a movie to work, you can't insert this kind of cast into a movie. There has to be like a strong character drama in the movie.
Right.
I think that's why the TNG movies fall a little bit flat, because the TNG cast is better suited for episodes and the TOS cast is better suited for movies.
Well, you know, I feel like it's the leadership style of Kirk versus Picard. You know, when Kirk is walking around the ship with his shirt off, sweating,
right,
after doing workouts, which happened.
It does. And it he's happens always numerous times.
Winking and smiling and has his arm around everybody at all times. You know, everyone else is going to start acting accordingly, but Picard is is so stone cold sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
That, you know, everything is in its place and there's not a lot of room in his life for love. It's mostly duty, and I think the rest of the crew is just doing what he does. You know, it's almost his fault in a way.
Yeah, that's a good point. It does sort of come down to the culture of their leadership or whatever.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting that the TNG episodes that do well that aren't the great, you know, the quote unquote great episodes where it's really just like an undeniably great story are these kind of episodes, because when they stray away from this sort of like a plot driven thing to more of a character driven thing, which was what season 4 was all about, I feel like it suffers a little bit. It's not quite as good.
Right. Well, I mean, do you think it's the acting not pulling it off or the writing, or do you think it's how it's set up?
I think it's how it's set up and the writing combined. Okay. I think they set up the show where these characters were stuck in these defined, not really buddy-buddy relationships.
Right.
Like even Data and LaForge, who are supposed to be super close, you get more of it's just they don't really hang out together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they were designed to be really close. I think I said this in a previous podcast. They were supposed to be annoyingly close, and I'm glad they actually separated them. Because
right, yeah.
When LaVar explained the original idea, I thought, that sounds terrible, LaVar Burton.
I can appreciate that. Because I like the tone of TNG for the show. Like, right. I like those kind of episodes that are broken out. And I think Schisms is just a good example of that.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, where Clay judges highly, grades highly, if it's high concept, I feel like my thing is I am very touched when they go into character moments. Even if the episode stinks, I appreciate that finally there's a bit of warmth in a scene.
Yeah.
So I tend to, like, embrace those moments more because maybe I feel the show is too cold overall.
I think I agree with that. I think if I was to redo the show, I would have it be less cold than it is with each other. I would have more scenes of people hanging out in their free time.
Yeah, or you could write Troy to always be opposed to Picard and have her insist that we need to embrace our humanity. We can't just really almost have them at odds at times, you know?
Right. Have her sort of be the, well, I guess Riker would be the, although Riker falls in line. Like, you kind of need a Kirk analog a little bit. Riker was kind of that at the beginning, but he doesn't continue that arc.
No. Well, like Whoopi Goldberg does, but she's not on the show enough.
Right, yes. Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing. You need the Whoopi character to be much more of a prominent figure.
Yeah.
Someone who sows seeds of doubt and tells people that what they think is not really what's happening.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. And I love Picard to death, but I would say he's too perfect. He's rarely wrong. Even when he admits his faults, I don't know. Like, he's very, he could use more flaws.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that. At least, you know, Kirk at least was the sort of overbearing, if not overbearing, just sort of like a little bit too hot under the collar sometimes.
Yeah.
It didn't always come back to bite him, but that was his like character flaw, that he's sort of a shoot from the hip kind of guy.
Right,
And Picard does not have that. When Picard does things wrong, it's because someone else made him do something wrong.
Right, or if he does screw up a little bit or doesn't appreciate the situation at the beginning, he'll have a little like chat at the end, like, well, maybe this is something we should be learning about ourselves. Like, he has a way to philosophize it instead of actually absorbing it.
Right. Yes, that's a good way. That's a good way to put it. He's much more of the professor than he is sort of the student.
He'll like digest it through the eyes of Shakespeare instead of just saying, you know what, fuck this, I need a vacation. You're like, no, his human moments aren't really there as much.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just I've been having been watched all the episodes in a row like that. I still love the show, and I've actually it's fun to go back and watch the early seasons to see how different they are. But I do feel that that's something that they could have affected. Although I still want them to keep episodes like Schisms because I like it quite a bit. Even though I agree that it's not one of the better. It's not a great episode, but it has a lot of problems. But outside of that, it's just I love the tone of it. It's unique. How about we wrap this up. I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Sean are going to come back and give our final thoughts and ratings for Schisms.
Dr. Crusher.
My God.
What is it?
It looks as though your arm has been severed and then reattached.
What?
The skeletal structure in your radius and ulna is offset by 0.02 microns. Your arm has been amputated and surgically reattached.
I really love the word schisms. I think it's a good word. It's strong.
Yeah, good title.
I'm a man who respects a good title. I appreciate good titles.
That's your thing. Clay is all high concept. You like a good title, and I like mushy character moments.
Altogether, we have the next Star Trek series under our belts. Yeah. Let's give our final thoughts and ratings. If you guys are on YouTube, you can click in the upper right-hand corner of this video, and it'll give you a poll. You can vote what you think on our scale of 1 to 5, what you think this episode is. So, Sean, why don't you start us off? Just give me a light synopsis of what you thought, and then give me a rating.
You've talked me into liking this a little bit more. I still wouldn't show someone new this episode. I wish that the Data stuff, like at the beginning, he was on one of his journeys for humanity, and it just kind of pittered out. And I didn't love the ending. I'm going to go a high 2 or a low 3.
Okay.
Sorry.
No worries. I sort of disagree that I think this is an episode I would show somebody who wasn't familiar.
Right.
So I think it's really, I enjoy this one. I think it's rewatchable, although the flaws start to appear when it becomes watched again over and over. But I just like the tone. I think the concept is cool. It's weird that they haven't done an alien abduction story before.
Right.
That feels like a natural home run swing.
Right.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I enjoy this one. I think it's one of those, it's sort of those second tier episodes that I enjoy watching.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Maybe it's just what bugs me about it is the tone. It's just it's a taxing episode on the characters. It feels taxing for me to watch.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just preference, you know, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely potential. Is there any one thing you would switch that you think would save it, or you think it's just sort of the general idea here is not something that you're
I don't know. I think I'd make it more intense. I think I'd push it even further, so it's not just it's there. The scarier moments are more impactful, and there's more of a climax, and it's exciting.
Yeah,
you know. Whereas right now, it's monotone in a way. It feels. I'm not doing a good job describing it. I apologize.
Well, it kind of falls into the. It's another thing about the cast, right? The way that this show is constructed, you aren't allowed to have episodes where the main character is doubted. You know what I mean? Like, what happens to Riker here, what happens to every single crew member is always taken deadly serious by everyone else. Mm-hmm. You know, there's never any moment where, like, oh, you're just losing your mind or whatever like that. To the point where they get around it in a Barclay episode. Barclay's the only character who can do it because Barclay doesn't tell other people about it, where every other cast member, when something is going wrong, they tell somebody else about it.
Well, and as they should, because there's weird shit that happens in space.
Right, yes.
No matter what you say. It's like, well, you know, we keep repeating ourselves, and you know, the pin collar on Riker's lapel is going to save our life. Right. You hear that, and you're like, okay, sure, why not? I mean, we've seen weirder things before. We saved an alien baby, a space baby once.
That's right. Yeah, no, yeah, that's 100% right. It's a problem with the format, like, and I think they'll start to move away from it, but it's that kind of thing. I would have stuck with the mystery, as you were saying. Right. Just like stick with that mystery for a little longer. Maybe don't see the aliens for as long as we see them. We don't need to have Riker rescue the woman at the end. You know, like,
oh, yeah, that was kind of weird.
Who I realized only on the second rewatch, that's the ensign he was teaching to fly the ship in that scene where he strokes the console.
Right.
that's that woman. That console scene is also funny because in the new Blu-ray things, you can clearly see the Phillips head screws holding in the thing at the top of the console.
You know, some things are too perfect to change, you know? Nothing wrong with an old screwdriver.
You can't improve on the Phillips head screwdriver, right? It's just perfect. We gave them one line, and they were like, I need two lines to hold the thing. And you said, okay, I can do that. Oh, Phillips head. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you're on YouTube, like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating review helps get the show out there. We're on Patreon now. You go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. Give me $1. Give me $2. Not give me. That sounds rude. But if you donate that much, you'll be able to get exclusive content. We'll be starting to go through non-Star Trek topics, some Star Trek topics that aren't an episode type thing. And the only way to get that is through Patreon. So you can go there. You can go to facebook.com/thepenskypodcast and leave a comment, leave a like. All of that is much appreciated. Sean, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, man. Always fun.
Always fun. And guys, thank you very much for listening. And I will be back with, what's after this? I feel like, oh, True Q. That's right, the Q episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who's on that one? Is that with Tana and me? Or?
No, that's Modi. He already recorded. So me and Bodhi are going to be back in a couple days with True Q. See ya. We'll